Now we come to the fifth commandment this morning, Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Father, we pray that as we come to this commandment, and maybe some of us haven't thought particularly about it for a long time, we ask that your Holy Spirit will throw fresh light upon it and remind us of things that we have known since our earliest days. And may we take it as your very word to our hearts. And may we learn from your word and from your Spirit how to live out what it is you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first four commandments have dealt with our duties, our responsibilities towards God. We now come to the first of the second table, as they're called, the first of the commandments which refers to our duty towards our fellow men, the commandment which is about honour that is due to our elders. Now, I have to say that this commandment is far wider than the immediate family. The exposition of it that we find in the Old Testament itself, and there is a very full exposition of it, makes that quite clear. I think there are three concentric circles which have this commandment as their center. First of all, there is the family circle. Then secondly, there is the social circle. And thirdly, there is the civic circle. And we'll take those together. And then finally, this morning, I want us to notice the gracious promise that is attached to this fifth commandment. So first of all, the honor that is commanded within the family. Honor your father and your mother. Will you notice here that the commandment is enlightened in its attitude towards women? Some ancient societies would have said and did say, honor your father. The Romans, for example, were like that. In a Roman family, the father was all powerful. He had power of life or death over his family. And his wife, too, was entirely at his disposal. But not so the fifth commandment written by the finger of God. The mother is given equal status with the father. Both parents, father and mother, stand side by side equally to be honored by their children. But also notice what is meant by the word honor. Now I think at least three things. There are more, but we've only time for three. And first of all, to honor must mean to respect. We're commanded to show reverence for our parents. I remember a number of years ago being in the home of a young couple. It was my first church. And it was a social evening. We'd been invited for supper, and there were many other people there. And the lady of the house, the young lady of the house, was keeping the company amused by imitating and mocking her own mother. And I recall very vividly how shocked I was. It seemed to me almost evil, almost cruel. As this woman imitated her mother, called her names, poked fun at her, and took her off. I was unable to join in the laughter and the merriment that everyone else joined in, I might say, because it seemed to me that this was grieving to God that a daughter should revile and mock and deride the one who had borne her. Again, a young couple once came to see me, and I'm afraid it's happened on more than one occasion, to make marriage arrangements. And as they sat in my room, the young man tore his mother to pieces. He called her the most awful names. And I looked at the girl sitting beside him, and I very nearly said, "Do you hear him? Beware of a man who can speak like that of his own mother." And I would say to girls, if you want to know the way your husband will treat you, in 20 years' time, watch carefully the way he treats his mother today. Honor your father and your mother must mean respect to them in word and in deed. Now I know that someone is going to raise an objection. It's an obvious objection and a valid one. You're going to say, but just say my parents are not Christians. Worse, they are good for nothing, weak, contemptible. What am I to do about that? And some people have parents like that. The answer is very easy. You are not to close your eyes to your parents' weaknesses or wrongdoings, but still, because they are your parents, you are to show respect to them at all times. We have an example, a classical example of this in the scripture. King Saul was a man who opened his life to the powers of evil, so much so that he became possessed. And in his wicked fury, he threw a javelin on one occasion at his respectful and loyal son, Jonathan. Jonathan was angry and he was grieved, but he never, read the story closely, he never showed disrespect for his father. Therefore, because they are your parents, and for that reason alone, you must honor them and respect them. But honor also means something else. It means obey. Now, I suppose this is a thorny problem today. So many parents have said to me their children tend no longer to take any notice of what they say. The peer group, their equals, is the great pressure. When it comes to the time that children should be in at night, or how they should spend their time, or who should be their friends, or even other very basic domestic matters, parents' wishes today can be disregarded, increasingly so. Young people, the command of God is that you obey your parents. Do you profess to follow the Lord Jesus? Then read in Luke chapter 2 that the Savior, authorized version, was subject to his parents. The NIV translates it explicitly, was in obedience to his parents. And that means in plain language that we cannot fail to understand that if our Lord obeyed his mother and father, then he is our example, and that we too should obey our mother and father. Again, someone might object and say, but just say my parents tell me to do something that I feel to be wrong. For example, take an extreme example. Just say I am a Christian and my parents are of another faith, say the Muslim faith, and they order me, as Muslims would, to marry a Muslim. Well, the New Testament qualifies the obedience that Christian children have to give. It says, and Paul read it in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Meaning that your bond is first to the Lord. And in him, and according to his ways, you must obey. Take Jonathan again. Saul ordered Jonathan to deliver David to him so that he could kill David. But Jonathan disobeyed. Instead, he warned David to flee, and he even helped him to escape. There, Jonathan had a higher obedience, an obedience to God, which overruled the wickedness of his own earthly father. But I would put it to you that very rarely would the average parent in our country today ever ask an obedience which directly goes against the laws of God. To honor our parents, then, not only means to respect and reverence them, but also to obey them. Honor must also carry a third meaning. It means to provide for them in their old age. How often, as I visit, I hear an old lady saying, my son gave me that. my son does this for me, my daughter comes every week, and that's always good to hear. That's so right and so proper. But occasionally one hears another story. I heard this not so long ago. He lives just round the corner, but I never see him. He never comes near. He never bothers with me. How ungrateful, how wretched, how ungodly that a son or a daughter should ignore an old mother who fed them and clothed them and cared for them during the hard years of their childhood. One stern word that Jesus spoke to the religious people of his day, you'll find it in Mark 7, was that they were failing to provide for their parents. I know that today that provision very rarely means money help. The welfare state has taken on itself that responsibility. Pension schemes have, whether rightly or wrongly, we'll not touch on here. But there's another problem in our society today. It's that of loneliness. That's a new poverty. And to abandon or to neglect a widowed father or a widowed mother because they have rates rebate or a pension is still an offense against the fifth commandment. Now, you mustn't think that I've exhausted the meaning of the word honor in these 3 points. But understand this, that as Christians, the fifth commandment is the first one to deal with our duty to others. The first four is vertical in its reference, Godward. 5 to 10 are horizontal in their reference, our duty to our fellow men. And as Christians, we must look on our attitude to our parents as our first duty towards others. Here is where we begin, at home. No use rushing here and there, trying to do good somewhere, trying to help somewhere else, if the first duty that God lays down is neglected. Therefore, lay this commandment out before the Lord each day, and let us allow the Spirit of God to search our lives, and let us learn obedience to God at rock bottom, at the very first level, at the beginning, by honoring our parents. Now, there are two sides to every coin, and just in passing, let it be noted that parents themselves have a very full responsibility towards their children. We read in the New Testament in Ephesians 6 that parents have not to exasperate or discourage their children. And so one of these duties of parents is to realize that our children have lives and rights of their own. And sometimes parents can be very possessive and very unreasonable and lay unjust burdens and strains on their children's loyalty and obedience. Parents can be selfish and narrow-minded and disgraceful and a hindrance in their attitude to their children. And we who are parents must remember that there's a pattern given for us in our attitude to our children, and that pattern is our Heavenly Father. He blesses us without indulging us. He provides for us without spoiling us. He protects us without insulating us. He's always kind and gracious, even when he's chastening us. And so let us make our Heavenly Father our pattern and our model of parenthood. Now, secondly, the two extensions of the fifth commandment. The first natural extension of this commandment to honor parents concerns the social circle. It's a general attitude of honor and respect towards all elderly people. Now, this is a very powerful and prominent principle in the Bible. Respect for the older and elder members of the community was axiomatic. In Hebrew and Jewish society, it went without saying. Do you know that in the Bible, grey hair was regarded as a sign of honour and dignity? Our society has taken something of a sharp turn off in another direction here. We tend to give much prominence to youth. Old age tends to be dreaded and even despised, and some adults of both sexes spend a great deal of time and trouble trying to hold on to youth and trying to deceive people about their age. An impossible exercise at most times, I would have thought. Creams are applied to the skin, and Grecian 2000 to the hair, and elixirs are distilled from the most unlikely sources, including cucumbers and the sex glands of tomcats. All in the attempt to ward off the relentless approach of age. But in the Bible, age brings honour and dignity. I think we would all agree that a body such as a Kirk Session needs a good balance of youth and experience. We need the young, the active, the progressive. But inexperience needs to be tempered by experience. Youth needs to be counterbalanced by age. And so wisdom is found in showing highest respect to the older ones, by taking note of their counsel and their convictions. The youth, you see, are like the great sail, the great canvas of the ship, while the elderly are like the keel beneath the water. The breeze fills out the sails of the imagination and zeal of the younger ones, but without the keel of experience, the maturity of the years, the wisdom of grey hairs, the vessel would heel over and capsize. But together, with sail and keel, the bows cut through the waves. The story is told of an elderly man entering a packed theatre in the amphitheatre in Athens, but not one Athenian rose to give him a seat. And then the ambassador, who was present as an honoured guest, the ambassador from Sparta, rose and gave the old man his seat. And he said, "The Athenians know what is right to do, but do not do it." Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall rise up before a grey head and honour the face of an old man, and so you shall fear the Lord your God." Young people, learn your manners from the Word of God. Rise to your feet when someone older than you enters. Don't lie slouched. Learn to stand as a sign of respect. And parents, teach your children to stand when an older person enters. And the older person, hopefully, if they have any breeding at all, will immediately say, "Sit down." Show godly respect and reverence for your elders. Now, the other side of the coin is obvious. There can be nothing so stultifying and deadening as a Kirk Session, which is 100% elderly men, without the vision and drive of youth, all heavy keel, and no sail filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit. So we need the balance. The second extension to this fifth commandment concerns the whole area of civic life and includes our employers. We must remember that when this commandment was given, the father was invariably the employer. Not very often do we find this today, only occasionally, but again, here enshrined is a principle which consistently is maintained throughout the whole of the Bible. The Christian will show honour and respect towards his or her employer. Whoever your boss may be, And read 1 Peter chapter 3 on this. Or is it chapter 2? Whoever your boss may be, whether you work in the private sector or the public sector, if you profess to follow Christ and fear God, then it is your high duty and your calling to obey and respect those over you. Peter says, even the froward, and the word means twisted, perverted, even them you must respect. It was when Israel was at her lowest ebb spiritually, when the nation was disastrously far from God, that it was recorded of Hebrew society that everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. I hardly need to press the point today. There is an attitude of rebellion and irresponsibility in our society which violates this fifth commandment and the whole spirit of the law of God. And we who are Christians carry an immense weight of responsibility for our nation. We who bear the name of Jesus Christ ought to be quite fearless in our example at our work. We ought to be giving an example of respect and obedience. Now I know that such an attitude calls for courage. In some English factories it can lead outright to persecution. To show respect and obedience to those over one at work, even to violence against the person. But surely, we still have enough Christians to exert influence in many factories and many offices in Ireland today. And I would say, would to God that our General Assembly would talk more about the Ten Commandments and summon all of God's people to an awareness, a new, a fresh awareness of the will of God and the Word of God in the commandments of God. And so the fifth commandment teaches honor where honor is due. But then thirdly and finally and very briefly, the promise that is contained in this commandment. Honor your parents so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I used to think that this meant only a long life, a promise of longevity. But not so. It's got much wider reference than that. It actually refers, and the Old Testament makes it clear, it refers to the security of tenure God would give his people in the land to which they're journeying. If their relationships were right, righteous, that is, then God would be with them and bless them as a people, and they would live securely in this new land that God was giving to them. For us today, in the New Testament era, the reference must be to the community of God's people. It must be to the church. We are the Israel of God. And so this promise, which first applied to a tiny nation living on a narrow strip of land, now applies to the congregation of God's people, living and worshipping together as a fellowship. Some of you may have listened this morning and you may have said, but I have no family. They're all up and away. Or someone may have said, but my parents have been dead for many years now. But we must see that this fifth commandment applies to a congregation. We're a family here. And that God promises to bless the community of his people where this commandment is taken seriously. I'm sure we've all been into homes where the children were badly behaved and ill-mannered and disobedient, and we've actually been very embarrassed and glad to leave the house. But we've also been into homes where we've noticed at once the happy atmosphere, the respect and the love and the harmony between the parents and the children. I wonder how a stranger entering the family of our congregation and maybe joining one of our organizations, whether it be the PWA or the bowling or the choir or whatever, I wonder how they would be impressed. Would our respect and honor for each other, our love and kindness, our warmth and our care come across? Or would they be conscious of friction or disloyalty or jealousies? Surely we all pray. I trust we all pray for the presence of God to be with us here in Hamilton Road Church. We long for God's best in and for our congregation. Here is the promise that when we are a loyal, faithful fellowship showing care and concern and respect for one another, then God will bless us. That's why the New Testament says, let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly, sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, she who loves her neighbor, has fulfilled the law.